series on the Holy Spirit, what we want to do is follow that up with a sermon on what do you mean born again, and this is not intended as a pun, but there are many misconceptions about born again, begotten, and all this sort of thing. And so today we're going to go through and see that there are two aspects of birth. Whenever it talks about what the Father does, it is called begettal. Whatever it talks about the conception, then it is referring to, and in the Greek it's very interesting, the coming together of the seed and the egg. So let's begin by going to Luke, the first chapter. We're going to see quite a few of these factors right here as we go along. Let's go to Luke, the first chapter and verse 13. Luke 1 and verse 13. And the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah, because your supplication has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son." Now, this is not conceive. It's going to be bear. She is going to give birth to a son. And we'll talk a little bit about the Greek words. I won't get into detail with them here as technically as I did with the series on the Holy Spirit. But the Greek root here is gnao-o, from which we get born, begotten, and so forth. So this is the form of the verb gnao-o. "She shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And then, of course, it tells about what happened when Zechariah didn't necessarily believe or understand how it's going to happen. So let's come down here to verse 24. Now we have, in this particular case, the Greek word for conceive. Verse 24. "Now after these days, Elizabeth conceived." And the Greek word for conceive is soon elabon, or soon elabo, in the prime Greek word. And whatever you have in Greek, the S-Y-N, like you do in synagogue, or the S-U-N or S-U-M, it means a coming together. So this means that she would receive from him and conceive. Okay? So the two different words are from the part of the wife and mother and the part of the father and husband are completely different. That's why when you read the first part of the book of Matthew, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, they could have done it the other way. They could have said, well, the woman gave birth, and it would be a different verb. Every one of those so-and-so begat so-and-so is gnao. But if it were that she gave birth, it's a different word, as we will see as we come right along here. Okay? "And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus to me the Lord has done in the days in which he looked upon me to take away my reproach from among men.'" Now, if it's a little bit different than your King James, because I'm reading the English from the interlinear, so I'll be sure and have the Greek words right in front of me. "And in the sixth month," that is the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee, whose name was Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the name of the virgin was Mary. "And the angel came to her, coming to her, the angel said to her, 'Hail, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women.' But she, seeing him, was troubled at his word, and was reasoning of what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" And the Greek word there for favor is grace. You found grace with God. "And lo, you shall conceive." It's the same word, soon elabo, a little bit different form of it because of the tense of the verb, soon elabo. "You shall conceive in your womb and bring forth." Now the Greek word for this is tikō, bring forth, and that means that the woman is giving birth. Okay? You shall bring forth the son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and the Son of the Highest shall he be called. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of David his father. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob into the ages, that is forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. But Mary said to the angel, How shall this be, since I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Now this is a very clear indication, as we covered before, that the Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's not a person. Never has been, never will be. And the holy thing which shall be born shall be called the Son of God. Now the Greek here is very interesting, because this comes from gnao, and the full meaning of the word is a present tense participle, which means that the holy thing which is being begotten now at this moment. Okay, you can't say he was being born, because it shall be born, okay, but is being begotten right there at that present time while the angel was talking to her. So again, we have the action of God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. This comes from the Father to the woman, and she's going to bring forth a son. All right, now let's come clear down here to verse 57. And it's interesting that you have all of these things pretty much contained in one chapter here. Luke, the first chapter, and verse 57. Now Elizabeth, when the time was fulfilled, now to Elizabeth, when the time was fulfilled, that she should bring forth, okay? She should bring forth. There we have the Greek verb tekel. T-E-K-O. Tekel. She shall bring forth, okay? And bear a son. So there we have the both uses of it. We have tekel, shall bring forth, and she bore after the son was born. That comes from gnao. So we have both uses here in this particular case. In the King James it says, Now Elizabeth, full time came when she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Now let's look and see how we can put all of this together, and let's come to chapter 2. Let's come to chapter 2. And we want to see something that is very important here. Chapter 2, and let's pick it up here in verse, well, they went up to Bethlehem. Verse 5, Joseph and Mary were there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, or who was betrothed to him as wife, and she being great with child. And it came to pass, and the days were fulfilled for her bringing forth. The same Greek word there, tekel, to bring forth. She gives birth. Okay? And she brought forth, again, the verb tekel, her son, the firstborn. Now, obviously, then, it was a completed fact. He was born. Now, when you come to the completed fact that he was born, and it's the firstborn, we have this Greek word, prototokos. You probably heard me say that before. Okay? And prototokos means that he is the firstborn. Now you will notice that there is no derivation of gnao in that description. Prototokos. Now we are going to see that this applies also to the resurrected Jesus, where he was the firstborn from the dead, prototokos. Okay? So we have an accomplished fact of a born child. Let's go back to the book of Matthew, and let's follow the account through here in the book of Matthew. Let's come here in Matthew, the first chapter, and we'll see how all of this comes along. And it's interesting that people get all involved in trying to prove a theory rather than trying to prove the truth. And there's a vast difference. most scholars set out with a hypothesis, and they look for all the material they can to support that hypothesis. What should be done in Bible study and everything is that you look for the things which support the truth. Rather than take an idea into the Bible to prove your idea, you should study the Bible to see what the Bible says, and then let the Bible put itself together and let the Bible show what is right. Okay? Now, let's come down here to verse 18. Okay, let's come down here to verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus, and the birth here has the basic Greek word genao, which is in the noun tense, genesis. Okay? Thus, having been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found of child with the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, being righteous, was not willing to expose her publicly, and proposed secretly to put her away. And when these things, he had pondered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord in a dream appeared to him, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is in her is begotten. Gnao, is begotten of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So there we have begettal. Okay? Verse 21, and she shall bring forth, Tycho, a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this all came to pass that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Now today there's a tremendous movement to try and get rid of any knowledge of the virgin birth of Jesus. As a matter of fact, this Dr. Spong, whatever his name is, says there's no value to the virgin birth. Well, if there's no value to the virgin birth, then you just might as well throw everything out. Because then nothing can be trusted. Okay? Well, we know that it has to be exactly as God has said. Okay, let's come down here to verse 25. And Joseph knew her not, and he knew her not. That is, they did not come together in sexual relations. Okay? Until she brought forth, Tycho again, her son, the firstborn, Prototokos. So when he was born. So that shows the process of the whole thing. Now we come to chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we see the other form of being born with genao here in the Greek, which is, now Jesus having been born in Bethlehem. So you see there are different words which are used to express different things. One from the father, one from the mother. One to state the fact of bringing forth, one to state the fact that the father caused the pregnation and was born with the lineage back to the father. That's genao. The one tycho then is of the mother. Now let's come down here to verse 2. The Magi came saying, where is he who has been born? Now there's a form of the verb tycho instead of genao. For we saw his star in the east and have come to do homage. And then, of course, he gathered all the priests and everything, and they wanted to know where Jesus would be born. Verse 4. And that is a form of genao at that particular place there. Okay, let's come down here to verse 11. No, that verse 11 only has reference to them coming to Jesus there. Okay, now let's go to John, the third chapter. And here's the chapter which does it all. This is the one where everyone goes to say that they are born again. And the basic understanding of born again by most Protestants is if you open your heart and let the Lord in, you're born again. And by those who believe that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are born again. Now we're going to be involved with another Greek word here, which is from above. And from above can mean anew, again, from the top down. As a matter of fact, where it talks about the veil at the temple being ripped from top to bottom, okay? From top is the same Greek word from the top down, all the way down. And that Greek word is anothein, okay? We will see that Jesus said he was from above. He said to the Pharisees they were what? From beneath. Okay, we'll see that in a little bit. Now, let's pick it right up here in John 3 and verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus. His name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi. Now, some people say, well, then Jesus had to be an ordained rabbi to be called a rabbi. Well, no, they recognized him as a leader, and they used the name rabbi. Not that he ever studied at their schools or their universities or anything like that, because they accused him of being unlettered and untaught. He said, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, or having come from God. For no man can do these signs that you're able to do unless God be with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, now this is pretty routine of Jesus. He never answers the questions. And he gives them a different answer. So he said, verily, verily, or amen, amen, I say to you, unless anyone be born anew from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in the Greek there, it means it's impossible for him to see the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, let's stop and just use a little bit of their own logic upon them and see that it doesn't follow through. If when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are then, at that point, born again, what should you be able to do? You should be able to what? See the kingdom of God. Okay, if you are truly born again at that point, you should be able to see the kingdom of God. Because that's what Jesus said. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So then if you have been born anew, you can see the kingdom of God. If you've been born from above or again or anew, all of those apply. Okay, you can see the kingdom of God. I have yet anyone to tell me they've seen the kingdom of God. Okay? So Nicodemus said to him, how can a man, being old, be born? Can he, the second time, enter into his mother's womb and be born? Now, in every case, gonao or genesis is the whole Greek word that is being used here. So Nicodemus knew that this was unusual for him to even say this. So Jesus answered him, saying, verily, verily, I say to you, unless anyone be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people think that water means baptism. That is not true. You're not born in baptism. What do you do in baptism? You die. You're not born. You die. But when you're born of a physical birth, it is the water that pushes you out. So this has to do with a physical birth, as we will see, and I'll show you the parallelism here in just a minute. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All right, now, if when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have been born again, and if it was by baptism, you should immediately then enter into the kingdom of God. Is that not correct? If their statements are true, which they're not, then it would have to be so that when you were baptized and received the Holy Spirit, you entered into the kingdom of God. Question. Are you flesh and blood after you're baptized? Well, you're flesh and blood when you went in, and you're flesh and blood when you came out. Okay? Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. And we will see exactly what the Apostle Paul said. Now, isn't it amazing how that a lot of these things that we're going through and we are covering scriptures that you already know? Okay, and we're going to see some things here that are very important. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, and let's pick it up here in verse 50. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians 15 in just a little bit, but let's pick it up here in verse 50 at this particular point. But this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So therefore, since you're still flesh and blood, and you cannot see the kingdom of God, and you cannot enter into the kingdom of God, therefore you have not what? Been born again. And we will see that. We will see what the Bible teaches is the begettal of the Spirit. Now we would also have to conclude that if you are born into the kingdom of God, you have to be wholly spiritual, because you cannot enter into it being flesh and blood. Okay? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruptibility or incorruption. Now, are we still corruptible? Yes. I mean, just all we have to do is look at the mirror every day. We are corruptible. Okay? Anytime you get a day older, or you hurt yourself, or your body's wearing out, or falling apart, or whatever, if you die, will your body corrupt? Yes, it'll be gone. And if it's left on the plains of Africa, all the buzzards and coyotes and lions, they'll come and clean it up. They'll clean up all the bones and everything that's left around. Okay? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Lo, I tell you a mystery, or show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In an instant, it says in the King James, in a moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. When is this to occur? At the last trump or trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, all of that's very clear. When you were baptized, let's go back and we'll apply the test again. When you were baptized, did you hear the trumpet? No. Did you see the kingdom of God? No. Did you enter into the kingdom of God? No. Okay? So therefore, at the time you were baptized, raised out of the watery grave, and had hands laid on you for the receipt of the Holy Spirit, you were not born again. Now let's go back to John the 3rd chapter. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 15, because we'll come back there. Okay? John the 3rd chapter, and we will see how Jesus' teachings bear this out. Okay? Let's pick it up again here in verse 5. And Jesus answered, saying, verily, verily, I say to you, unless anyone be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh. Now that refers back to of water, because you have the parallelism. Water, flesh, okay? And then the other one, spirit, spirit. Okay? That which has been born of the flesh is flesh. That's what we all are. Okay? Can you say that you're not flesh? Well, if you say you're not flesh, then you say you're not human. And if you're not human, what are you? Okay, you see, if you take their logic out to the fullest extent, it becomes ridiculous. Okay? Yes, we've been born of the flesh. We've been born of the water, the fleshly birth. and that which has been born of the Spirit is Spirit. So if you've been born again, you are Spirit. You cannot be flesh and blood. Now we'll see that in 1 Corinthians 15 in just a minute. Okay? That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So not only do we need to take the hat pin test to see if we bleed, but we will try the wall test, the door test, and we'll do as Jesus then. You walk through the door. So if anyone says they're born again, you immediately run out of the room and slam the door and say, now, if you're born again, I want you to walk through this door. Not open it, walk through it, and don't destroy it. I don't want you to push your foot in it. I don't want you to kick it down. I don't want you to take it off its hinges. I want you to walk through and appear. Because Jesus said that's what the Spirit does. And that's what Jesus did. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So the simplest test you can do to answer the question, what do you mean born again? Very simple. Are you flesh or are you Spirit? Okay? And it says in 1 Corinthians 15 very clearly that you're not going to put on the Spirit, the incorruptibility, until when? At the last trump. Now, as far as I know, the last trump hasn't sounded. If it has, we've all missed the boat. Okay? Isn't that true? And how could, down through the years and period of time when people have been baptized at different times, how could they all hear the last trump? They couldn't all hear the last trump because Paul said it's in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So it's going to happen instantly at one point in history, which is yet down in the future. Okay, now verse 7 of John 3. Do not wonder that I said to you, or don't be amazed, or don't be in consternation that I said to you, it is necessary. Now what does it say there in the King James? Marvel not that you, one must be born. Okay. Must be born. Well, the Greek there has a much stronger meaning. The Greek word there is D-E-I, which means obligatory. So the must is an old intensive form of the English word. Okay? It is obligatory for you to be born again. In order to what? See the kingdom of God, to enter into the kingdom of God, to be Spirit. It is obligatory. No way around it. Okay? Which means then, anyone claiming to be born again just really don't know what they're talking about because of the next verse. Okay? The wind. And here the word is tolpneuma. The only place in the New Testament where tolpneuma for spirit is used is the wind. Okay? The wind blows where it wills, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell from where it is coming or where it is going. You can only see the effect. Thus, exactly in the same way, is everyone that has been born of the Spirit. Okay? So anyone who has been born again must be a Spirit being. And they must be able to come and go at will with no restriction by any of the physical things that confront them. And so when Nicodemus heard this, he answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus said to him, are you a teacher in Israel and these things you don't know? Verily, verily, I say to you that we know what we speak. We do know and do testify what we speak. Okay? and our witness you receive not. If earthly things I said to you, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? Now that just tells you how great it's going to be in the kingdom of God. I mean, we can just barely understand this, and this is an earthy thing Jesus said. Okay? Now, let's go to John 3 and verse 31. Okay? Now let's come back here to verse 27. This is John the Baptist speaking to the Pharisees coming to him, and he answered and said to them, verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. That's talking about Jesus. Out from heaven. You yourselves bear witness to me that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. And the one who has the bride is the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears rejoices with joy because of the voice of the bridegroom. This then is my joy fulfilled. For it is necessary, obligatory, for him to increase, but me to decrease. Verse 31. He who is from above. It's talking about Jesus. He came down from heaven from above. He who comes from above is above all. He who is from the earth is, and of the earth speaks. He who is or from, the one who has come from heaven, is above all. So there we have the use of the word from above. Again. So it would really be better to say born from above. A birth that has been caused in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that the flesh is changed from flesh to spirit. And you are spirit. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. Now let's go back to 1 John 15. Or not 1 John, but 1 Corinthians 15, beg your pardon. And let's see several things here concerning this. Now let's pick it up here in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now, has Christ been raised from among the dead, and is the first fruit of those that have fallen asleep? Okay? Now, what does it mean to be raised from the dead? It means to be born again. Now, just hold your place here, and let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians, the first chapter, and we will see that that is exactly what it's talking about in relationship to Jesus. Okay? Colossians, the first chapter. Okay? Verse 15. Now, we have two places where this Greek word, as we've used before, prototokos, meaning a completed firstborn. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. Now it says firstborn of every creature, and that is not a correct translation there in the King James. It is the firstborn of all creation. Now what is that referring to? Was Jesus then created? No. We are created in his image, right? Are we not? And is Christ not creating himself in us? Yes, he is. That is the creation that it's talking about. That's what's going on in our lives. And Christ then was the firstborn of that creation through the resurrection from the dead. We just read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20 that Christ is the first fruit. Okay? So here it's called the firstborn of all creation, because by him were all things created. So how could he be the firstborn of all creation if he created everything? Okay? That means firstborn of the creation that God is doing through the means that he is using to create in us himself again. Okay? Creator of all things, the things which are in heaven, the things which are upon the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or lordships, principalities, authorities, all things by him and for him have been created. He is before all, and in him all things subsist or exist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, first born from among the dead. Prototokos. So we have prototokos used of Jesus in his first birth, when he was born of the Virgin Mary, and of his second birth, born again, when he was resurrected from the dead. It is a completed action in both cases. Now let's come back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam we all die, so also in Christ we shall all be made alive. That is, born again. If you're dead and you come out of the grave, then you're born again. You are alive again. Just like when Jesus came out of the grave, he was the firstborn from among the dead. He was alive again, which then is counted as the second birth. Verse 23, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruit, then those who are Christ's at his coming. Now, has Christ come? No. So the answer is, because these scriptures are true, no one but Jesus Christ has been born again, because he is the only one who is resurrected from the dead and made a spirit being. And Christ hasn't returned. Okay? Now, hold your place here and let's go to Romans 8th chapter. And let's see something very interesting concerning Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 28. There's a verse that we all know, we've all lived through. It is true. It takes time to see and understand this in the long run. It takes some living to experience it, but it is true. Verse 28, but we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And it's interesting that it is those who are loving God. Okay? Ongoing active. To those who are called according to his purpose. Because whom he foreknew, he also predestinated. Now, predestinated means it hasn't yet happened, but it's going to happen. Correct? Predestinated to be conformed, to be conformed, not yet, okay, to the image of his son, for him to be the firstborn prototokos among many brethren. Now, when we put that together with 1 Corinthians 15, when are the others going to be born into the kingdom of God? At the last trump, when Christ returns. Okay? Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren who will then be born again. Okay? Now let's come back to 1 Corinthians 15. And let's follow this through a little bit more here. Okay? Now let's come down 1 Corinthians 15. Let's pick it up here in verse 35. And let's follow this through, because this shows very clearly exactly what Paul is talking about here. Verse 35. But some will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? He says, fool, what you sow, it is not quickened or come back to life. It doesn't bring back life again unless it die. So you put the seed in the ground, it dies. It corrupts, doesn't it? But the seed then generates new life. For what you sow is not... Let's read this here in the King James. And that which you sow not the body that shall be. Okay? In other words, what comes up, though it be of grain, of wheat, or some other kind of grain, okay? But the grain you put in the ground is not the one that comes back up. A same kind of grain comes up, new life. But God gives it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed its own body. And all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. And boy, I tell you, with all of the photography they have today, they're discovering some fantastic, awesome things out there in the universe that just are so incredibly humbling, it's unreal. I hope to get some of those new kind of slides that they have, but they think that they pretty well now have been able to determine that there are such things as black holes, that real dense magnetic center where it's kind of like the junk collector of the universe. It pulls everything in and then sends it out the other side in a different form.